All right, welcome back everybody to the 13th episode of the Tiger View Podcast. Dawson, not really too much new content, so to speak, this week, except some more transfer news, and we got some more from the softball side. So in this episode, we're going to talk about real quick the softball transfer that Clemson softball got last night, and then some more baseball transfer news for Clemson baseball, people transferring in and out, and then also we're going to kind of do a way too early Clemson baseball lineup for next season. And then Dawson and I was going to kind of switch over to football real quick to kind of wrap things up, talking on what the Clemson football offense should look like once they step up on the field against LSU on August 30th. So that's what we got for this episode. So kind of want to get right into it. So last night, Clemson softball, they got their first transfer of the offseason. It's kind of been a quiet offseason for Coach Rittman. Kind of hoping that'll kind of ramp up a little bit because I know we need some different pieces in the infield and then maybe a pitcher or two. But last night, Clemson got Florida Atlantic transfer Kylie Chanel. I don't know. I think it's Chanel. But anyway, she hit 330 with 59 hits, 34 runs, and 44 RBIs at FAU. And she also led the team with 14 doubles. And she posted a strong 851 OPS and a combined 0.387 OBP with a 464 slugging percentage. So, not bad numbers coming out of Florida Atlantic. And she's an infielder, so she'll most likely replace the spot of either Alex Brown at third base or Maddie Moore at shortstop because obviously with Marion Collins at shortstop and her having a good year. So, this girl from FAU, she'll look to kind of help that infield get back up to par with the exits of Alex Brown and Matty Moore. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to touch on that real quick, Dawson. You got any thoughts with that or anything?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have been sitting around waiting on a softball to bring in some transfers. Everybody been kind of wondering, here's the first one. I mean, it's a big one too. I mean, she's a really good player. Like you said, she'll be looking to replace probably Alex Brown or Maddie Moore on the infield. And I think what's great about the way this team is set up is you had that really good core of freshmen this past year who have now learned and seen what just barely making it there, so close to getting to the World Series. And hopefully John Rittman and his staff can bring in a couple of, veteran players or a couple of people with some experience to kind of blend in with this previous year's team, and hopefully this upcoming year be able to have enough to get over the hump, not just be on the doorstep 60 feet away, but be able to get past that.
Yeah, having these young players on the roster this past year and then making it to the Super Regionals and then one win away from the Women's College World Series is just a huge step in their journey at Clemson. And I know next year they'll look to even take it even further and make that trip to OKC. But just, yeah, against some veteran, or she was actually a freshman this year, the girl from FAU, but now she'll be a sophomore along with the other freshmen from this past year and then the freshman class we got coming in. But I'm kind of looking for Coach Rittman to maybe go after a pitcher or two with Reese Basinger and Britt McCubbin now not in Clemson anymore. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on softball there with some more offseason moves and just see what Coach Rittman's got up his sleeve. All right, so kind of shifting gears now, we got some more baseball transfer news, some offseason news. So this week, BJ Bailey, he hit the portal and he's kind of looking for eligibility with that because I think his eligibility's up. So it's kind of the Diego Pavia rule. Isn't that right, Dawson?
I believe it's probably some because he did play at Southern Methodist, so I think it is something to do with that, but honestly, I haven't done a whole lot of research in his situation yet.
Yeah, and then also your boy TP Wentworth hit the portal, and I know you'll probably talk on that in a minute. And then also Tristan Bassetta hit the portal, and I just seen not too long ago today that he's actually going to Ole Miss to play baseball. So, yeah, we'll kind of just talk on the people that's transferred out, and then we'll roll into the people that's transferring in. So, what's your thoughts on those three guys leaving?
I mean, BJ, like you said, he was out of eligibility for us. I mean, that's really not a big deal for Clemson. I mean, regardless, you weren't going to get him back. But TP Wentworth is a little bit of a shocker there. But, I spoke to some people closer to the team, and I guess it really just came down to, what would we do if we were him, in that situation where you bring a couple of transfers in to play over you, where, this past year you felt like you've done enough to prove yourself and done enough to get more looks, and they bring in a couple of guys to play ahead of you. A lot of people would say that he should stick it out and, try to battle against those guys. But in reality, that's not how college athletics work. When you bring a transfer in and bring a high name transfer in like Clemson's been doing, probably not going to get to play with those guys. It's the same in the NFL. The guy that they're paying more money to and the guy that they expect more out of, regardless of how hard you work, they're probably going to play him over you. And it's a very similar situation. But what is a bit of a question mark to me is, if we lose Ryan Weidman or Ty Daly to the MLB draft, what are we going to do there? I mean, now you don't have Wentworth as a backup plan there. So that would be the biggest question to me is, I thought TP really could have competed for that center field spot or just one of those spots in the outfield because there's a really good chance that you're not going to get Ryan Weidman on campus.
Yeah, I can't lie. I was really surprised, and whenever TP, I seen him hit the portal because just from what I've seen this past year, and then towards the back end of the season where he got to play a little bit more, just how good he was doing, and I just really feel like he was going to be a really good development piece. And I mean, he could pitch, he could play in the outfield. I mean, he could really do it all. So just from what I've seen this year, I really hated to see him go. And then you make up that good point of Ryan Weidman or Ty Daly going to the MLB draft, which is a very good possibility. What are we going to do there? Are we going to go get more transfers or what? But yeah, just really hate to see TP go. But I don't know. I want to hear your opinion, Dawson. So where do you think he'll go? Do you think he'll go to maybe SEC school? Do you think he'll go back out west to California to where he lives? Or what's your thoughts?
Well, typically when guys hit the portal, they're looking for a couple of things. They're looking for more playing time, which obviously he's going to be looking for more playing time. His stock is kind of growing, and they're looking for money, which I don't really see playing a huge factor into this situation, just because it is baseball and baseball NIL and rev sharing is set up differently across all sports. And number three is they're looking to go home. They're looking to get closer to home. So I heard some people throw out, it'd be pretty bad if he went to South Carolina, but I really don't think there's a chance there. I could see a West Coast team. UCLA, who's in the World Series right now, I could see him going there, or I could see him picking any one of those West Coast schools. I think to me that would make the most sense for him. And I think it's kind of funny to me is, does TP even know he's in the portal? He hasn't posted anything about it. It's been pretty quiet on his end. He won't really talk about it. And he posted Nate Salvador from Loyola Marymount coming to Clemson. He was like really excited about it. And I'm like, it kind of felt weird to me because it's like Nate Salvador, I mean that's like his replacement, in a way. So I'm kind of I was kind of, at first when I saw it that D1 Baseball had him listed as in the portal, I didn't really believe it at first, and then I saw a couple of other people start posting it. I was like, well, that sucks. But I think to me is what makes the most logical sense is maybe heading back on the West Coast. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you. And I mean, those teams out there on the West Coast, especially California, not even the big schools, really. Like, you had some of those smaller California schools who are actually pretty good at baseball. And I mean, you've seen over the years, some of them make it to the College World Series, like Cal State Fullerton or UC Santa Barbara, like some of those schools, which are really good on the West Coast. So it's going to be interesting to see where he does go. I mean, it would surprise me if he does go back home to California, but I do know whoever gets TP, they're re really getting a good player with a good upside, in my opinion. All right, so kind of switching over to the people who have transferred into Clemson now. So we got Ryan Weidman, which was the big name from Western Kentucky, and then we got Ty Daly, who came from Mercer, and then we got Nate Savoia. Is that how you say his last name? Savoia? Something like
We'll
that.
talk about that, yeah.
Something like that. But Weidman, like I said, Western Kentucky, Ty Daly, he's coming from Mercer, and then Nate Savoia coming from Loyola Marymount. And Weidman's an outfielder. Daly's a first baseman and outfielder, and then Savoia is a catcher and outfielder. So all three of them can play outfield, with Daly and Savoia playing first base and can do some catching. So some good pickups there. But like you were saying earlier, Dawson, I really got a feeling with Weidman and Daly that they might not even make it to Tigertown.
And I guess the logic there is that, with him committing to Clemson, he does have some leverage over some MLB teams as far as to argue money. But I talked to somebody last night about it, and I brought up the point that, Baseball just doesn't have the money to like try to hold these guys here. And the point that he brought up to me was, well, under the new rev sharing model and scholarship expansion, we'll have 35 roster spots covered fully under the school. That won't have to be an NIL thing now. So now all the NIL that we have been given and that the baseball program has had and passed to work with, that will be now going straight to players' pockets rather than having that NIL have to pay for schooling because baseball was not a fully funded scholarship program. Now it is, So if you've got 1.5 or 2 million, just throwing out a number there, now you won't have to worry about using a portion of that to cover scholarships. You will be able to put that straight into a player's pockets. And I think there's another thing that, Eric Bakich has been really big on, growing his players' brands, getting their names out there, using things like the Savannah Bananas, even though it kind of came back to be a little joke on us, after we lost in the regional. But people don't realize from a money side of things that, I mean, that does a lot for your team, does a lot to grow your brand. And the more your brand grows, the more chances your players are going to be able to get to boost their NIL.
Yeah, you do make a good point there. I do think rev sharing will kind of compete with players going to the MLB draft money-wise. And I know sometimes whenever guys see that paycheck from the MLB and they're like, oh, maybe I should go there. But now with rev sharing, that might kind of hold them back a little bit. And I know sometimes, and it really depends on when guys get drafted and all that and signing bonuses and everything. But sometimes guys stay in the minor leagues forever. And whenever you're playing in the minor leagues, you really don't honestly make that much. Like I said, depending on where you're drafted, signing bonus and all that. But that's another thing they would have to take in part there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They really don't make a whole lot of money at all, really. I mean, I know guys that were drafted in the top 3 or 4 rounds, and sure, they got a good signing bonus, but after that, they're not really doing a whole lot. They're down in low A, single A, and that's not really, you don't really make any money until you're up in triple A most of the time. So you're kind of living off that signing bonus. So I guess the one hope that we have for Ryan Weidman is he's projected a top 5 round. Let's hope he goes, not to wish him bad, but let's hope he goes 6th or 7th round and the signing bonus isn't real good and he does decide to stay another year. And Ty Daly, same situation. We just have to hope and pray that we can compete with the money that they're going to be offered up there in the big leagues.
Yeah, I am excited to see Savoia get here, though. He's, like I said, catcher and outfielder, so we'll see what happens there. But all three of those guys that we've landed in the portal just is going to show that Eric Backage is really working. And I mean, he's landing big name guys. So if those two make it to Tiger Town, and I know Savoia is, then it's looking pretty good. But you think we got some more up our sleeve? I know we probably need to get some more pitching, in my opinion.
I don't know yet. Normally, I probably would know by now if it was, but I mean, there's no reason to think that we're done. I mean, we're not ready yet. I mean, we still need pitchers. I mean, I think that's pretty clear to everyone. And I do like to point out the fact that you're seeing a bit of a trend from Eric Bakich. He's kind of offensive heavy when it comes in the portal, and I do understand that because you did lose a lot this past year when it comes to offense because now you're it. I don't want to like say look at it from a Moneyball perspective, but you remember that scene in Moneyball where they're talking about how they lost the three biggest players on the Athletic A's, and they're thinking about how can we replace those numbers. That's exactly what we're gonna look to do now. You're gonna look at Cam Cannarella's numbers, and you're saying, okay, who can we go out there and get? Maybe we're not going to get a player to the level of Cam Cannarella, but can we get one or two guys that can match that production? Or, the same situation the year previous when you had Blake Wright. You're just looking to get guys that can match that production. They may not have the name, and certainly other than Weidman, there's probably not a whole lot of people around Clemson that know the rest of those guys. But when you look at their numbers and you look at their upside, you really feel like you're in a good spot offensively. But, like I said a second ago, it does seem like Eric Bakich has a trend to where he wants to grab hitters. And he understands in today's baseball, I mean, we saw it this past year. Our pitching may not have been that great, but to be honest, it really wouldn't have mattered if our pitching was great because our hitters weren't really doing a lot. We didn't have anybody for a long time. We had like one guy hitting over 300 the entire year, Cam Cannarella. And even at one point in the season, he dropped under 300, and he'll tell you that he didn't have the season that he wanted to have. So that's a big thing, is you need offense. Offense wins games in the modern day baseball. And when you combine offense with, if you can go get another one or two pieces in pitching, I think you're gonna be okay. You know, I'm not willing to sit up here and say early on that this is a future Omaha team, but I do like the way that the offseason is shaking out, you know, especially after losing so much.
Yeah, I'm waiting for some more pieces of the puzzle to come in play here. But like you were saying, we only had two guys at the end of the season only hitting over 300, which was Cam Cannarella and Dominic Listy. And then right there, kind of towards the middle of the season, it was Jarran Purifoy. But those two were the only two guys to finish over 300. And I mean, you look at these other lineups in college baseball, and they got four or five guys hitting over 300. So you really got to have that like power in the lineup and guys who can hit for average as well, not just home runs and stuff. Obviously, people who can drive guys in on base, and that's something we struggle with all year, like we know. But yeah, like trying to replace guys like Cam Cannarella and Dominic Listy, you're not exactly going to replace them, especially with Cannarella. But you can definitely find good bats out there who can, I mean, pretty much do the job, like you said, with the whole Moneyball reference. So yeah, I'm just waiting to see what else Coach Beckett just got going on up there in Clemson. All right, so kind of shifting away from the transfer stuff for this week. Now I kind of want to go into maybe some way too early projected baseball lineup for next year. Obviously, just position players, pitching is like a whole nother deal. But for the position players, what are you thinking, Dawson?
I think catcher, unless anything happens within the next couple of days, you're still going to look at Jacob Jarrell being there. First base is going to be probably a battle between Luke Gaffney and Jack Crichton. I think, like, the biggest thing to me is I want to believe in Luke Gaffney so much, but we have to see it from him, you know? We have to see it for him. Excuse me. But at second base, we're going to go with Jarran Purifoy. No question there. Third base might be a little, you know, weird for me is I know they got Castellani on the bench. He's a freshman this past year, I believe, and everyone's been looking at him. But I wouldn't be surprised. I really think the Georgia transfer could do that. I really do. But obviously you're gonna have to see. Shortstop is still kind of in the up in the air for me right now. I don't want to really make a call on that. I haven't done enough, you know, looking at the roster and, you know, truth be told, I haven't kept up with baseball's offseason as well as I should have. You know, obviously, I've kept in track of some transfers and talked to some of those guys, but other than that, I've been kind of tuned out on it. Left field, we're hoping we can get Ty Daly out there. In left field, center field, we're hoping Ryan Wideman. Obviously, this is pre-draft, and right field, Nate Savoia, you know, whatever. And the designated hitter, I'm gonna go with Colin Priest. So pretty basic lineup there. Obviously, you know, these are, you know, way too early predictions right now, and you know, this isn't even my prediction. I'm reading this off of a Twitter post. So, you know, I haven't even, me personally, I haven't made one. I'm just going off of what I can find right now across Twitter. So I want to know, what do you think about what the potential position players could look like?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you though. Obviously, Jacob Jarrell, he's going to be catching in the first base. I kind of think it's going to be a battle, like you were saying, Jack Crichton, Luke Gaffney, and I'm really hoping for the best for Luke Gaffney because I mean, you can tell he's an amazing guy. I know whenever we went for the regional, he knew he wasn't playing, but I was just still seeing him out there in warmups, and you can really tell he's a really big team guy. So I really rooting for Luke Gaffney, and then obviously Jacob or not Jacob, Jarran Purifoy at second. And then, yeah, same with short. Short's kind of up in the air. I don't know what we're going to do there. And then third base, we could see Bryce Clavin there, or maybe one you could even look out for is maybe Tristan McClatty. I know he had surgery, but I mean, he's played infield a couple of times. I mean, his freshman season and then even this season. I wouldn't mind seeing McClatty out there. And then the outfield, like you were saying, it was just the transfers we're getting and Barron, if they don't go to the MLB draft, then maybe they'll be out there. But, really, everything's not set in stone other than maybe catcher and second base and maybe an outfield spot. But other than that, I mean, I know it's too early. I mean, we got the College World Series going on, but that's just something to keep in the back of your mind as next season is already on the clock coming up in 2026. So, Yeah, I'm excited to see what the lineup's gonna look like, but still way too early in my opinion. But it's always just fun to kind of spitball and kind of project out here. I mean, right when baseball season's over for Clemson.
I do want to say one thing. What would it look like if, the guys we expect do go to the draft? Could TP Wentworth withdraw his name from the portal? Do you know, if he hasn't picked a team yet to that point, but I would wonder, this obviously has a very low chance of that happening, but it's just something that's kind of been on my mind because I mean, you see players sometimes do that, maybe not in, college baseball all the time, but certainly in football, guys do withdraw their name from the portal and their team is, sometimes let them back in. I wonder if that would be a situation that Eric Bakich would allow him to come back to the team in that situation.
Yeah, it could be a possibility, and I mean, I really wouldn't mind it. Like I said, I was really surprised to see him go, but sometimes you have those guys who put their name in the portal and kind of just see what options they have, and then maybe, I guess, if they don't like their options, then kind of withdraw. But it will be interesting to see what happens with that. But like you were saying, I don't know how much of a possibility that is, but I wouldn't mind it, quite honestly. All right, so our last segment now, kind of talking some football before we wrap up. So August 30th, it's slowly approaching, Dawson. So we're kind of almost to August. I know it's about to be middle of June, but August 30th will be here before you know it. So kind of want to talk on what the Clemson offense will look like stepping out there on Death Valley for that night game.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, August 30th is coming. Our clocks are on, and we found out this past week also that College Game Day will not be coming to Clemson. It will be going to Ohio State, and honestly, I'm not upset. I'm really not upset at all. I've been to a couple of College Game Days myself, and like once you get into them, like 15 minutes in, maybe 20 minutes in, they honestly get a little boring. And for one thing is. For me, obviously I'd want to go. I'd be having to wake up at like 2 a.m. to leave here, and drive 3.5 hours to Clemson to get there and get a decent spot. So, one thing is that's not really hurting. I'm still going to be able to get up at a regular time, get on the road around lunchtime and get there and be able to tailgate and enjoy the game. Without College Game Day being here, honestly, I'm going to feel a lot better about it. But yeah, to go into some stuff about the game, I think this is it feels like a you're gonna find out who Clemson is or who LSU is that night. That is the biggest storyteller, and everyone's been talking about it. Ohio State and Texas plays. If Ohio State beats Texas, you haven't learned anything. Sure, the defending national champs with the best two players in college football. Won on opening weekend, and Texas just lost. They have freshman quarterback, or vice versa. You're not learning a lot about either one of those teams. You still know who they are, but with Clemson LSU, it's gonna you really will see who these are because both of these teams kind of have a lot riding on this year. They've kind of have a lot built into this year. If you're Brian Kelly, you haven't won an opener. LSU, I don't think has won an opener since going back to 19. And you've kind of bubbled up into where now, like you have to see results if you're Brian Kelly. You feel like you're knocking on the door, but you're not there yet. And how much longer is the LSU board there going to let him, have his leash? And if you're Clemson, this is a big moment. Everyone's talking about how you're not good enough to beat the SEC or how you're overrated or you're this or that. And, you've got a new defensive coordinator. You're supposed to have Cade Klubnik in his best year. This is a big storyline game. And if Clemson comes out of the gate and wins or blows LSU out of the water, Clemson fans are going to be riding high. They're going to be thinking they're going to win the national championship. And on the other side of that, you're going to have LSU who's probably going to be calling for Brian Kelly's head. Even though that, in reality, this is a week one non-conference game. It doesn't matter at all. It's more about you want to see where you are as far as talent across the country.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, this game's really important. I mean, first game out, and really, if you look at Clemson's schedule, after this LSU game, there's really nothing there. And I mean, I'm gonna say it quite honestly, like, we really don't have that fair of a schedule. I mean, talking about strength of schedule wise, so this LSU game will be important, kind of padding that resume for the playoffs. And I mean, I know it's kind of easier now with the 12-team playoff, but I mean, like you were saying, Dawson, I mean, this is an important game other than besides like the Texas Ohio State game. So it's going to be important to see what Clemson can do right out of the gate. I know last season we went to Atlanta to play Georgia to start the season, and that really wasn't a good start. And then, I mean, we had a good season after that, but I think it's kind of different this year. I mean, all the storylines for Clemson, Cade Klubnik in his final year, is this going to be his best year yet? We're hoping. And then another season with Garrett Riley on the offense, and then another season with Matt Luke kind of patrolling the offensive line. So we'll see, but I'm excited. I know you are. So kind of want to just kind of get into the offense now. So obviously, we know who's going to be at quarterback, Cade Klubnik, and then I know the big talk all season has been the running back room. And in the spring game, we've seen Adam Randall get the RB1 reps, but I kind of feel like it's going to be a whole committee type deal for the running back spot.
For running back, I do as well. Obviously, I do think we'll see Adam Randall run out there at first, just because he does have the experience and he was taking the first team reps early on. But I would not be surprised if you did see Gideon Davidson get in there and maybe even be able to take the RB1 spot possibly by the end of the night. But for me is what I'm going to look at is what are we going to do for tight end? You've got Josh Sapp, Olsen Patt-Henry, Christian Benicar, who they really feel really strongly about. I think they should. That guy's got a lot of potential. And obviously, now you're going to look at the O-line, and I think it's stronger than ever. But you're going to get a real test whenever you're putting it up against LSU's defensive line and their guys that they're going to bring. And then you got wide receiver. If I truly think that we have one of the best wide receiver core in the country, if not top three, you're gonna get, you're gonna get to see what Clemson's offense can look like. But the big question is, what is the defense gonna look like?
All right, we're having some technical difficulties, but yeah, I really do think this game's really about in the trenches. I mean, with our offensive line, LSU's D line, but I'm excited to see what the wide receivers are going to do against the LSU secondary. So it's going to be a fun game. I'm excited, and yeah, it's a night game in Death Valley, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything left to say. Obviously, I know we'll talk more about football and the game as it gets closer, but I mean, for right now, I feel really strong about it.
I always just like to kind of pick out some things to talk about with football season coming up. But yeah, I know we'll have more and more information, and even whenever we get the ACC Media Day as well. So that's another thing I'm excited for. So yeah, other than that's really all I got for football. All right. Well, anything else you want to point out for this episode, Dawson?
I do not. I do not.
All right, well, I know we were kind of short this week with not really much new content, but we're going to try and get some more out there to you next week, hopefully with some more content this week. But just make sure you're staying tuned over at TigerViewMediaCU.com. So me and Dawson will be giving you the latest as always. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So with that's been the 13th episode of the Tiger View Podcast, and it's been Gavin and Dawson. And as always, go Tigers.